We're studying faith. We're still in Luke 8:24 or 5, but you don't need to go there because we're still in Hebrews, studying what faith is. So go to Hebrews 11. All right, we went through one through, we're now in, blah, 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 blah. We're in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, what does it mean? Warned of God of things not yet, not seen as yet. It hadn't rained. So nobody knew what rain was. And yet God said it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. And the reason it hadn't rained is the earth was enveloped in a cloud cover. And so it was a temperate climate wherever. And it hadn't rained. So God says, okay, it's going to do something you've never seen for 40 days and 40 nights. Go build this ark. We haven't seen what you've heard me say so often. On the Feast of Pentecost, John saw the New Jerusalem descending as a bride prepared for her husband. With our eyes, we cannot see the New Jerusalem. With our senses, we cannot perceive it. But it is our only reality. And that's the fullness of what Christ said when it's finished. In other words, it's not up. The New Jerusalem came down. Now all of time is passing through that temple, the New Jerusalem. It's going from opposite. It's going from west to east. And only that which came from the Father can stay. Flesh and blood did not come from the Father, did not come from heaven. He made it, but it wasn't of that nature. The only thing that is of his nature that came from heaven is Jesus Christ. And therefore, it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Now, as everything is moving through this mystery of the temple, that's a surrounding reality, that which has been tested and found. The innocence has been tested and found holiness. The Word has been made flesh. Everything else goes out into the east gate, down to the valley of Hinnom, which is Gehenna, which is the dump. And they keep it from smelling up the world, just like it kept it from smelling up the area in Israel, was the type. They put lie on it and burn it. So it's a flaming fire. Now, we, by faith, Noah, it says, listen, these are incredible words. It says, by faith, he prepared an ark which he condemned the world. By which he condemned the world. His faith condemned the world. That's pretty intense.
I wonder what kind of relationship he had with God that he would know even how to build him.
Do what?
What kind of relationship he got? Reveal it to him that what an ark looks like.
He gave him the dimensions. He gave him the instructions. No.
Eat Starbucks and noodle it out on a panel.
Only you would ask that question.
That's the right question to ask.
That's why I said only you would ask that question.
It's
doesn't say, does it?
Give him a big Lego box, Gary.
Well, we're not going to go read Genesis 6, but go read it on your own, and you'll see what he did. Which you have plenty of. But I want to concentrate for a minute on by his faith and the actions he took because of that faith he condemned the world. That's heartless. By anybody's standards. But it's also true, by faith, if you would finally come to the end and pick up the cross, you too would condemn the world. Does anybody believe that?
It's kind of like it's not passive. There's something very dynamic.
Faith is not passive. Faith is the most active thing there is in the universe.
You have to build your own ark.
No, the ark was already built, and it was only a type. It was a parable of Jesus Christ. All right, we could spend all day on this one. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And now my favorite one. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Now again, we've studied this before, but it's important to say it again. Abraham's father, Terah, was the high priest of the kingdom of Nimrod, which included to then essentially all the known world. Nimrod did not have a son. And by the law of that culture, if Nimrod did not have a male child, then the son of the high priest was to be the heir apparent. Abraham, just as Moses, was to be the next king of the world. But what did he do? Abraham was the first man that I know of, probably in history, that demanded truth and defined truth. For Abraham, truth had to be something that didn't change with time. In the great hall in Babylon, there was a humongous hall, and it had 500 idols, all of the idols of the age. And the chief idol was the age of the zodiac that they were in. At that time, it was in the age of Taurus. So the chief idol had the head of a bull and the body of a man. And Abraham, throughout his childhood and his early years, he had tested everything to see whether or not it changed with time. If anything that happened and anything he saw or anything that was valued changed with time, then it wasn't worthy to be worshipped. And so what he did, he found out that all of those 500 idols in that great hall all changed with time. And so what he did is he took an axe handle and he broke and busted up every idol in that great hall. And then went and in the Taurus had the body of a man with his arms out, held out like this. He busted every idol in the great hall and took the axe handle and put it in that, the arms of Taurus. Nimrod got so furious that there was a price on his head, and both he and his father. And so they had to leave, and they fled for their life. Just as Moses fled for his life when he killed the Egyptian soldier, even though he was son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that wasn't a description of who he was. It was a title, meaning he was the next Pharaoh. Now, we can't even imagine. The only way we can imagine it is to see what it was in Christ, what he was tempted with. He was tempted with everything that you want. He was tempted to be able to give the world perfect health. He was tempted to, but never again would there be anything of peace on earth. Never again would there be any sickness. Never again would there be any hunger. Never again would there be any pain. And he looked throughout all of history and saw that. And he saw the pain and anguish and misery of the human race. And he knew that he could have solved it with a snap of his finger. But instead, he said, I must be about my father's business. So Abraham, let's read what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing where he went. Now, he went out not knowing where he went because he was running for his life. But faith doesn't see that he was running for his life. By faith, John was called. Many left everything and went and came to the mystery of God. This is John. Doesn't see all the crap that he did to cause him to be in that position. It only sees faith. And that's what we must see. Everything else is meaningless. So let's continue on with Abraham. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In other words, he looked only for the New Jerusalem. Now, that didn't happen automatically. Think of the mistakes he made, and faith doesn't even see them. Twice, he lied about his wife, and he said it was his sister. There was a minor famine in the Promised Land, and rather than taking responsibility for the people and feeding them because he was rich, he and the people fled to Egypt. But faith doesn't see that. Faith doesn't see your screw-ups. Faith sees only your obedience. Does everybody get a little bit of a grasp on this? If faith doesn't see your depression or, blah, 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 poor me. There's the definition of poor me sitting in a striped shirt. He's been a prisoner of his emotions. Faith doesn't see that. Faith only sees the fruit of faith. And the fruit of faith is only Jesus Christ. Am I talking, or is it going over everybody's head, or are you?
No. Now he's going to go get a striped shirt.
Gary, what's going on? You got it. You're doing. You're chewing.
We're right in the midst of it. I don't think faith can be comprehended
it. There's always the only, there's never figuring out. If you don't see it and understand it, it's, Father, forgive me. I've been trying to apprehend it with this which is cursed. It can't be apprehended by the mind. It has to be, it has to apprehend you. And it's already apprehended you. It's already, you already know everything I'm telling you. It's already in you. But God is waiting all these years for that which is in you and that which is outside to be one. So you don't live by your emotions and your ideas and your mind and your, oh, your beautiful ideas and your great ideas. Big ideas. You don't live by that horseshit. Excuse my French. I didn't know that was a French word.
Well, that's like when we were talking about Manasseh last night. Because of faith, you don't see the screw-ups in the past. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen next.
Amen.
And that was a lot of freedom in seeing that for the first time. I didn't have to worry about what's going to happen this morning when I get up.
Amen.
For the rest of the day, all I got to just do is
so he only looked for the city whose builder and maker is God. He looked for and he saw the New Jerusalem. And for this and because of this, he's called the perfect, he's called the father of all faith.
There's something about him sojourning. Travel the land looking for this. It's as if he thought he could find this.
Well, you got to, I mean, this, it didn't want, it wasn't ever one thing. Remember the faith of Abraham. If you read all the things written about him and all the things in the Talmud, he just did, all he did was one thing. He just lived his life and he said, I don't want to do that anymore. And he didn't think, and whatever he didn't want to do anymore, he didn't do anymore. And he screwed up 100 times. But it was always repentance. It always was repentance. It took him 100 years before his name was changed.
Well, isn't this kind of a parable of what we do? We kind of hear the mystery and we say, okay, I'm going to find it. You know.
Well, it's a parable. Well, some do.
Huh? I'm talking about Abraham.
Well, it's a parable for what some people do. Isaac saw it instantly. Remember, there are three graces that God has given to all men. And they're represented in the mystery of the faith that's repeated over and over in the Bible and in all of the ancient writings. The faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The faith of Abraham is the faith of, I don't want to do that anymore. The faith of Isaac is instant revelation, but it costs you everything at that instant. And the faith of Jacob is finally the massive struggle until he finally never used his own name, just as you've never used your own name. Until you finally wrestle with the angel long enough. And finally the angel says, tell me your name. And you finally can say, my name is 666. I am the evil one. Just as Jacob. That's what the word Jacob means in Hebrew. The way of the snake. That's all your mind can be, is the way of the snake. I have no patience with the way of the snake, as some of you know. Huh? That's right. Where's the what?
You spend your whole life running this. It may not be verbatim what you said, but spends the whole life running from the truth.
Well, you think? No, what I love is
God ain't got
No, no, no. Everybody says. Everybody says. I don't care who. Everybody says. I'm a truth seeker.
I know how to love that.
It costs you your life. Truth isn't some philosophy. Oh, but that's so sincere. I'm a truth seeker. Well, you know what I think about sincerity. Did I ever tell you what sincerity is spiritually?
No. I don't know.
You want to
hear it?
Okay, I went. Because of the sensitive ears present, then we're not going to say what it is. Ask me afterward. All right. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, if you read about Sarah, Sarah didn't judge him faithful. She laughed at the angels that told him, "You're going to bear a son." She laughed.
Quite the opposite.
But faith didn't see that. Faith saw her continuance. Are you starting to understand this mystery so you don't pay any attention to your mind, so you see with the eyes of faith instead of the eyes of the Gentile? That happened. Everything that happened in the Old Testament happened for your benefit, so you could see. But you never use it to justify rebellion. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there up even as one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, either that's just massive hyperbole, or it tells us a mystery. Because the number of Jews has never been more than a few, at best, a few thousand at any given time in these times. But what it's talking about is the seed of which is Christ, the sperma of God, and that is as number this of the sands of the sea. But the only seed that he sees, just as you, the only seed, if you're married, or I don't care what you're married or not, the only seed that you pay attention to is the seed that joined with the egg and became a child. But the sperma has no value except as an instrument to produce something. The best that man can be is a sperm cell for God. But the sperm cell must join with the egg and lose its identity. And that egg, that mystery of the egg, is the New Jerusalem. So you're swallowed up in that new revelation that has nothing to do with your past life, has nothing to do with anything in time and space. It's a new order, a new class. That's why born again is such a terrible term. It doesn't say again, it means it's born from above. Or rather, better translated, born from the first estate, born from the very beginning. What?
Well, I'm really thinking about Sarah and her. If we're not looking at her behavior, there's something so completely different. And it is God's point of view. Our minds always want to see it from our point of view.
No, our minds from his, we see it from the top down, not from the bottom up. Yeah, but it has to be here. If you say you confess the Lord Jesus, that will homologio. That means you say the same thing as he does. And that the same thing is from the top down, never from the bottom up. That's what faith means. Confess. Do you understand that? Do you confess the Lord Jesus? Oh, yeah, I confess the Lord Jesus. Well, unless you're looking from the top down, you're not confessing the Lord Jesus because you're not saying the same thing. You're not saying the same thing because you're not hearing the same thing. And if you don't hear the same thing, you won't see the same thing. And if you don't see the same thing, you won't speak or confess the same thing. This isn't some Sunday school class where you sit and learn something. The purpose of this is not to try to justify what your mind does or doesn't do. The purpose of this is for you to find out fully what repentance is. 100% abandonment, disownment of self. No attention. Pay no attention. Take no thought for your life. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Cast down every high place and every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. No more. No more hearing something here and then going out there and doing something different. Amen? Do you understand what it means to confess? If thou wilt believe that in your heart he's raised from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, or confess the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. It's location of sphere, both for what you, for his resurrection in you, and for what you see and hear and say. Let every man speak. Let every man, let your speech be seasoned with salt. That's what it means. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. The oracle is the location of fear. It's the area under the mercy, under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. And you only speak from that, and it just doesn't, and including this speak up here. If your thoughts don't do this, your outward speech won't do it either. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. They speak of the world, therefore the world heareth them. What? Well, I pray that you hear this. This is, stop playing in the street. Stop being an infantile Christian. Just, and the only way you can do that is repentance. Not trying to learn it. Well, what do? Believe on him who he has sent. No longer even speak of those things which are done of them. I mean, but all of those things are the things of the mind. For a true believer, it's a shame to even speak of those things. And this is all as simple as breathing. The predicate is you simply know that everything else is crap. What?
It's just incredible, amazing, whatever term, that God would even let you get, you know, you're that close to this, the altar and the mercy seat, that you'd be even allowed to be in that place.
We Because, yeah, but only when you're emptied. You're at the first source of all things. Stop looking at the world from the bottom up. Look at it from the place of your residency, the top down. Remember, everybody that's a believer knows they have an inheritance. Very few go and possess it. They do it, possess it every once in a while. But a very handful live there, dwell there. Your inheritance... To have an inheritance is meaningless unless its action is taken. To possess it is meaningless unless you live there.
See what Burnett said, it's like you take everything about him and which we all have a feeling of. And yet, from God's point of view, all he saw is what he saw last night. That defines Burnett, not
anything else. Remember, we're the I am people. We have the word peculiar. We are peculiar people.
Yeah.
Remember, the I am. Peculiar is the feminine of the verb form I am. You cannot have a modifier to I am. The minute you have a modifier, then you will have the capacity to think that the moment you're in should be different than it is. And you won't see the perfection of His holiness wherever you look. You won't see that every knee is already bowing and every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Do you understand that? The simplicity of it? More in faith for the next few days, I'm sure. Anybody have any other response? Miss Josena? So everybody understands perfectly. Mr. Bojo?
I think so.
And then go live it. Take no thought for your life. Take it, big guy.